a Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome into hour number two of the Mason Crosby Show. Remember, the Brewers are off to a 5-1 start, head for their first road series of the year in Kansas City tonight. Regardless of how you're watching the game, you can get the starting lineups and get ready for the first pitch with Tommy Big Time BTT Wirtz and the leadoff show this evening at 5 on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. And you're looking good, Tommy.
Yeah, I got a haircut.
The jersey, the hat, the haircut, the weight loss, like it all looks good on you, bro.
So the jersey is obviously what, 10 years old at minimum, at most, like with a Keston Hira jersey on, something like that.
Keston Hira, so probably about 10 years.
It's the same shade as the hats that came out this year.
Oh, it's like, perfect.
It's fire. Perfect right now. So
you are drippy, bro.
The Brewers wheat baseball logo, so underrated, and
that's solid.
The creativity is like rivaled with only the M and the B for me. Like that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean,
I love
that's how you make
baseball.
Beer.
Yeah. I love it.
Hops. Let's go.
Noble Saaz.
What was that?
If you read a Miller Lite can, it says Noble Saaz hops, but that's a Wilmer joke. Okay. That's a Minnesota. Like, I'm so sorry.
I love it. No, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
This is the Mason Crosby Show. Mitch Nellis, Tommy Wirtz, Mason Crosby with you, and joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call. That's all. Holy cow.
New man, backdrop. I saw you do
new
it.
New backdrop. That. You are so cool. Oh, my gosh. I love it. He is the one, the only Pack-A-Day podcast, Andy Herman. Andy, what's up, brother?
Hey, I'm doing great. The only thing I realized I made a mistake. I should have just had three Mason Crosby lockers.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing back there. Exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Drinking the Haterade.
All right, I'll send you a jersey. That way, at least you can rotate it through every once in a while.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. I love the white jerseys. Every time I would buy, like, obviously the green, the home stuff is great, but like I always like how the white jerseys display. Like they just,
it's clean.
They look really nice.
They,
I like
they
the
pop.
Numbers.
Did you feel faster in them? I always felt faster in white jerseys too.
I always felt fast, Tommy.
Yeah,
I mean, you saw me run down Cordarrelle Patterson. Come on, that was it.
My worry about the white jersey, of course, as a fan, is getting it dirty. Because like if I'm wearing it, because I'm a mess. I like to go through the buffet twice. I don't mean to pick on my daughter. And you guys know we are dual Boston and Milwaukee fans. She got a white Jason Tatum jersey, and it's like she will wear it maybe once a month because she's a little nervous. And she's neat. Like she keeps things clean. But all it takes is like some other dummy to spill on you, and like you got a huge stain on your clean white jersey. So that would be my only fear about that, Mason.
Yeah, well, that's why you display them. But Andy, looking good. I love like this new backdrop. And you know, I'm just gonna go ahead and give you a direct question. Like, who are the Packers drafting with that second round draft pick? I mean, who are they taking?
Yeah, I mean, we only have to eliminate 51 possibilities before getting there, right? So it's really
funny. That's why I'm asking you. That's what you do.
Usually, you know, if they're picking in the top like 15 or something, I can be like, all right, here's like, it's going to be one of these three guys usually, right? If it's like in the 20s or something, you can be like, all right, here's like 6 to 8 guys, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be one of these. You get to pick 52. I mean, like somebody you think is going to be there at 52 ends up going like pick 24. Somebody that you think is, you know, for sure not going to be in play ends up going pick 50 or 52. It's just such a hard thing to do. I think the positions that people are on are probably the right ones. I just went through the defensive tackles. I think there's some really fun defensive tackles that could potentially be available. Christian Miller from Georgia is one that I'm sure a lot of people have talked about, but I think he would be a good fit. Just another Georgia defender, right? Green Bay has a propensity for that. He's a good athlete. He's a good enough run stuffer. in the middle too, which is something that they're going to need. That anything like that would not surprise me. There's, yeah, I don't think Cameron McDonald or anyone like that is still going to be there, but I do, you know, Lee Hunter maybe would be another one, not the super athlete that Green Bay usually goes for, but he has not only the run stopping ability, but some pass rush chops as well. So defensive tackle would not surprise me. Corner is going to be another very interesting conversation there. Igbinosin is somebody from Ohio State that I like. I'm hoping that they can maybe even get him around later, but if they want to be aggressive with it, they might have to kind of go in that round two range. And then, you know, any, you can always take an offensive line, you know, player too, and just add to some depth. And then I just think the sneaky need that not a lot of people are talking about is pass rusher, defensive end, because you're going to have that 4 or 5 week period potentially without Micah Parsons. You've got LVN. And then after LVN, it's Brenton Cox, Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver, nothing that, you know, you feel super confident about. And right now, if, you know, even without, or I should say without Micah, for that first, you know, couple handful of weeks of the season, you're like, what, your best four man line, if you have like have to have it, 3rd and 8, right? Games on the line, you got to get after the quarterback. What are you going? LVN, Javon Hargrave, Devontae Wyatt, and something, I guess Baron Sorrell or Brenton Cox, maybe. It doesn't exactly strike the fear of God into anybody. I think most offenses in the league are going to be like, we can protect with our five guys and feel like we're going to be in a pretty good situation. Now, Micah solves a lot of that once he comes back, but you'd still like some depth. And that's if, by the way, Hargrave, Wyatt, and LVN are all healthy to start the year. If all of a sudden one of those guys are out, man, you could be in a really big pickle. So I'm certainly looking at those four positions as kind of the key ones to target.
Okay, yeah, and definitely on, you know, tracking with you there. I've seen reports of Packers maybe looking to kick the tires with like a Cam Jordan type player and like maybe go get another established veteran defensive tackle. Do you like the thought of that?
I like the thought of it, whether it's a Cam Jordan. It's not exactly a defensive end, but a Calais Campbell still would make a lot of sense. If they wanted to do that run stuff, or somebody like a DJ Reader could potentially make some sense too. There's a couple guys out there. I think free agency is going to die right now until the Tuesday following the draft for a couple of reasons. I think teams are going to wait to see what they get in the draft first before sort of addressing any sort of major free agency again. But B, the comp pick formula dies that Tuesday following the draft. So right now, if they were to sign a DJ Reader or somebody like, you know, that wasn't released, they would count against the comp pick formula. Green Bay would lose a draft pick next year by doing that. And so I think most teams are going to wait now. And I think most agents are going to wait now too. We heard DJ Reader a couple weeks, I think it was a week ago, his agent's like, we're working out for teams, but we're going to revisit following the draft. And that's because there's going to be, you know, 10 more teams that open up that, for potential free agency, that aren't doing anything now because they don't want to cost themselves a draft pick. But yeah, if they wanted to do something like that following the draft, I think would make a lot of sense.
Well, Andy, sorry, Andy Herman.
I was just going to reset. Andy Herman joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. He's on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Here's Mason Crosby.
Oh, thank you for that setup, Mitch. Andy, we had talked about this, I think, earlier in the week, and I'm curious to your thoughts. What is your expectation for, say, let's just say Micah Parsons, for clean purposes, is out 4 games?
Yep.
What do you think is an acceptable outcome for those 4 games for this Packers team?
Without seeing the right schedule, obviously, because we had this conversation like 2 weeks ago, maybe, when it was just me and Mason.
Dependent on who they play.
Right. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just going to say schedule matters a lot in that, but no matter what, I really don't think you want to start below 2-2. I just think that's going to cause some chaos and some drama and some issues that you don't want to deal with. So I think 2-2 is your floor. I think 3-1 is like realistically your goal, is what you should be kind of shooting for in that situation. 4-0 would be great. It would be above expectation, certainly without him, especially after going 0-5 without him at the end of last year, basically. And then again, I think 1-3 or 0-4 would be real cause for concern during that time frame. 500, I would be like, okay, you went 500, you get Micah back, that's a huge deal. But I would really, really be shooting for 3-1 during that time frame.
Do you think more pressure is on Jonathan Gannon or at the top with Matt LaFleur to have success without Micah Parsons, with how the season ended last year?
LaFleur, for sure. You just lost 5 games in a row. You choked away the game in Chicago in the regular season. You choked away the game in Chicago in the postseason. You just got a brand new contract. And so if all of a sudden you start 1-3 or 0-4 and it feels like the wheels are coming off of things after a year where he did not grade well in the NFLPA. He just talked about at the league meetings of how, you know, players were not satisfied with their roles. And then again, if you start 1-3, 0-4, I mean, it is going to feel like chaos in Green Bay. It's going to feel like the world is collapsing around the Green Bay Packers. They were, I mean, going into like, week 4, week 5, week 6, when they had a good record just because they lost to Cleveland, there were people already upset last year with Matt LaFleur and how things were going. It's still even by the time the Denver game was rolling around, even before that, before they lost 5 games in a row, there were people that were not satisfied with the way things were. So I think if this is 1-3 or 0-4 to start the season, regardless of who they play, and knowing that they're probably not going to have Micah, unless there's something catastrophic that happens to Jordan in camp or something like that, I think it's going to feel like the world is collapsing around Matt LaFleur.
Andy, I wanted to ask you, we had this conversation again a couple of days ago, maybe it was yesterday, but we had talked about Ed Policy basically saying that Matt LaFleur was not coaching for his job in that Chicago series, but Chicago game in the postseason. And I just wanted to know if you thought that was a proper approach by Ed Policy, if that was a fair judgment on Matt LaFleur, and if he wasn't, like, I don't know how Matt LaFleur is going to face any scrutiny even if they are 0-4, because now he's got a new deal and they're not going to change their mind after 4 games based on him not having to coach for his job against Chicago last year.
No, let me clarify first of all and say, like, I don't know internally if he's going to feel like his job's falling, you know, from beneath his feet or anything like that. Just because he did sign that new contract, I think that's going to come with some level of security. But even then,
even if you're secured.
Yes.
Yeah, like,
yes. And even then, if you go like 3-14 next year, something crazy, like, I don't care if you just signed a contract, that there will be a conversation at that point. Like, a catastrophic season is still a catastrophic season. But just kind of going back, you know, here's what I will say about what I learned from Ed Policy this week is that if anybody thought that following really just Bob Harlan and Mark Murphy, that Ed Policy was going to come and change the culture or be a new sort of like, oh, he's going to be a shock to the system, or there's going to be a new sort of regime with Ed Policy, he got handed a blank check to really do whatever he wanted this offseason following a 5-game losing streak. He could, if he would have mandated that, hey, yep, this was not acceptable, we traded for Micah Parsons, I don't care about injuries, I'm sorry, but I'm bringing in my guys, I'm bringing in a new GM, I'm bringing in a new head coach, or anything outside or in between it, he would have had the mandate to do something like that as a new president and owner, or a president and CEO, and as, again, a team that fell off at the end of the year. He could have done all of that. And instead, he said, no, we're taking the long-term approach. Matt's been great at his job for a really long time. We're not going to let an injury-riddled 5-game stretch at the end of the year decide his fate and do something rash and go in a different direction. And to me, that says this is not a president or CEO, for better or worse, that's going to come in and, again, make crazy changes. And he's going to follow pretty much the same sort of status quo directive, that the same thing with Bob Harlan and Mark Murphy, where we are taking a very steady approach to this entire thing, and we're going to let things play out. We're going to give guys chances, and we're going to give things time, and we're not going to be that franchise that is having a new GM or head coach every 3 or 4 years. And people might be upset by that, and I get that there's a time and a place for change, and you have to know when that is. And there was an argument to be made following the collapse last year, for sure. But I do think if you're looking at a franchise that has won a whole heck of a lot of games by having that same sort of calm, steady-handed approach to things and not jumping to conclusions, sometimes too slow, admittedly, for sure. But I think he's going to be very much in that same Mark Murphy and Bob Harlan sort of mindset, where this is going to be very similar to what we've seen from Packers teams in years past.
Well, we got Andy Herman on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. He's joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. I kind of want to go one more step into this, though, and we talked about it a little bit as well, is why, with Ed Policy's comments of, you know, I knew well before that time I was going to extend LaFleur and Goody. Like, if he knew, say he knew, like, when they were playing well, it's like, all right, this team got off to a hot start. Why do you think it didn't happen during the season? Because, I mean, if they extend him, you know, week 8, 10, something like that. Maybe they did. Who knows? I don't even know if they have to disclose it, right? Like, maybe that deal was done, like, in the middle of the season. But, like, you would think in that time, if they announce it then, this team's hot, all that, you can almost, like, I feel like we could have almost swallowed the end of that season a little bit more, because you would have been like, all right, yeah, we would have looked at the injuries, looked at all the things that happened. Instead, it was like, is this the coach, right? So yeah, I wonder why they waited to when they did after the season and after that collapse, if they had a plan and were prepared to already extend both of them.
It did sound like it happened after the year, that it wasn't something that happened mid-season, because they had that meeting after the season with everyone and the powers that be, and got everyone together and went out to dinner and everything. And it did sound like it was something that was negotiated after the season took place. The only thing I could say is that I know sometimes the last thing that you want to put on your head coach while he's in the middle of a tumultuous season is now contract negotiations as well. And I get his agent is going to take the heavy brunt of that and do the heavy lifting. But at the same time, if all of a sudden you come in and the coach now thinks you're lowballing them, and there's now like angst and frustration about the contract, well, now Matt's worried about that. Point. And there, now there's that's kind of in the back. So sometimes I know, like, it, and you probably even know better, but even sometimes with players, but you know, if something doesn't get done by a certain point, they say, all right, we're going to wait till the off season now, just so you don't have some of those issues that could take place during the season. And for what was a pretty tumultuous season with injuries and apparently players not being happy with their roles and losing the last five games and things like that, I could see just adding a layer of complexity of that with going through contract negotiations during the same time. It could just, you know, end up opening a can of worms that maybe you don't want to open in season.
Yeah, I had that exact situation happen. I think it was they had approached my agent middle of the season, and then we kind of hit a little, you know, patch. I think I missed a kick, and then they were like, oh, all right, we're going to pause. And then I believe it might have been that 2014 season, maybe the 2015 season. Then I hit a big kick. I think I ended up making a little bit more money, like having waited.
There you go.
So it ended up working out, and it's, you know, kind of the same situation. But yeah, I think they like kind of kicked the tires a little bit, and then it's like, okay, if stuff starts kind of, all right, we're going to wait till the off season. We're just going to push this thing down the line.
So just remember, when Sparky wants to renegotiate, just make sure it's after your best take on the radio first, and then have that big contract negotiation with Sparky.
Mason Crosby is the same agent as Kirk Cousins, so yeah, we should be all right when we need those renegotiations.
I need a guaranteed 8-year contract
anytime we're all together.
How about that? How about Kirk Cousins? Like, I mean,
good for him.
Yeah, exactly. So that deal, what, he's got $20 million guaranteed, is that this year? And then does he still have another 10 next year? Is that what?
No, it's going to be $20 million total that he's getting paid this year. It's like 8.7 or something like that, that is already paid from Atlanta. And then there's like $1.3 million that the Raiders are going to pay this year. And then he gets another automatic $10 million next year, basically when that contract voids. So the contract is set up so that there's probably not going to be a next year. There's a baked in team option with it. But yeah, what it's ultimately going to be is a 1 year that Kirk gets $20 million, but it's 8.3 from the Raiders, something like that. And then like 1.7 from the Cardinals this year, and then 10 or from the Raiders this year, and then 10 from the Raiders next year.
Are the Packers going to just rock with Desmond Ridder as the backup next year, Andy? Is that your plan then? Because Kirk was an option to be in Green Bay to be a guy to back up Jordan Love for a season.
Was he?
Yeah. I kind of wonder, like, Goody gave like a pretty like nonchalant answer of like, yeah, we look at everything. But the way I'll say this, Schneidman doesn't probe on those questions and or write about those things if there's not something that he knows or has some sort of, you know, kind of buzz behind. So I don't know anything, but my guess would be that there was some smoke to that fire, that Green Bay. But my guess, if that is the case, that they were looking at Kirk, that probably means that they are legitimately in the market for a real backup quarterback and not just going with a Desmond Ridder. And if anything, it might mean that they were trying to get Kirk first and waiting for that situation to resolve itself And now that that situation's resolved, maybe they move to a Jimmy Garoppolo, or maybe they move to a trade for an Anthony Richardson or a Will Levis or something like that. But it is possible, at least in the realm of possibility, that they were looking at Kirk first and waiting for that situation to end before they went in a different direction.
Does the lack of a first round pick hurt the trade talks for that at all? Because it is they have picks later on, and they gave up just a seventh for Malik Willis when they did do that. How valuable is Malik Willis now? He's just going to get a starting job in Miami. But I just wonder, if no first round pick, do you hesitate to give up the later picks with how Green Bay operates usually in trying to make a trade for a guy like an Anthony Richardson?
I think there's a good chance, if it's a trade, that you could be probably looking at a conditional 2027 pick anyway, and you're not using one of this year's. So, because a lot of times, like, a team might say, so for a Richardson, for example, you might make a trade with the Colts for like a seventh round pick in 2027 that can turn into a sixth if he does certain things or things like that. So you can't do that if you give up the pick this year. And Green Bay probably doesn't want to give up the pick this year just because they are a little bit limited, where they're supposed to now get four comp picks. Now, Green Bay doesn't have a sixth rounder. Well, they're going to get the comp pick. Never mind. But either way, they could easily be something that they try to do more of a conditional pick in 2027 for something like that, or a Will Levis, or, you know, not give up something this year.
Yeah, I kind of want to go something we talked about, because we always talk ball. I love your breakdown of players and, like, you know, kind of scouting mindset. But kind of going back to maybe some Ed policy stuff, talking about like the finance of the Green Bay Packers. Like, he made that comment, and we were a little perplexed. We're just like, okay, so what does that exactly mean? Like, we need to find ways to stay financially competitive in the NFL. Like, do you see that as like a real thing? Like, what is it? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I do. And I think there's some good news and there's some bad news. So what he's talking about is, you're seeing all these teams that are selling like small majority portions of their team to like private equity firms, and they're getting like billions of dollars for it. And so as the cost of operating an NFL team continues to go up, and the salary cap continues to go up exponentially and things like that, the costs of operating an organization theoretically could go to a point where it makes it very tough if you don't have those extra streams of revenue to help assist you in that. And so, again, if all of a sudden, you know, these other teams have, you know, sell a small share in their team and get billions of dollars that they now have at their disposal to go out and use, that helps them, right? And it can help them get better coaches. It can help them get, you know, you might say, well, there's still a salary cap. Yes, but you can borrow from future years, which Green Bay has been able to do because they are in a great situation financially. But if all of a sudden you get closer to that, and that number, you know, comes where Green Bay is just kind of breaking even and not having that, you know, a huge windfall of cash on the back end, it makes it really tough to do a lot of those deals and give huge signing bonuses up front, things that we have taken for granted as fans for a very long time.
Yeah, they've always had cash, right? Yeah. So
yes, exactly. So if ever you get to that point where they don't have the excess cash to do that stuff, it limits you. And at some point, if it gets so far advanced, it does become an issue where you're just like, we have to figure out ways to have enough money to actually operate the franchise. Now, I think that is a ways away. I don't think that there's any time in the very near future that is going to be a thing. And I'll actually add on top of that, where the good news comes is I think there could be a time in the nearer future where it's actually an advantage for Green Bay. As you get these investors going into team, investors don't care what your win-loss record is. Investors care what your you know, red lines and green lines are, and if you're profitable or not. So the investors, as they get more influence on teams, might say, no, you're not paying a coach $20 million. No, we're not borrowing a bunch from future. We want costs as low as they can be. Well, because we're still going to sell out the stadium every week. We're still going to be profitable every week, but we need to contain our costs. And while Green Bay can continue to focus on winning and doing what they like to do normally, you could end up with some other situations with other teams where, like, no, we want to make money. That's what our goal is. And so I do think there could be a time in the relatively near future where this actually ends up being advantageous for Green Bay. But in the long term, there is a reason why Mark Murphy and Ed Policy have said, hey, our number one goal is to keep Green Bay and the Packers in Green Bay. It is for this very reason, is because they are a very unique, structured organization, and they're going to have to be very cautious and careful with how they continue to raise money and keep money and stay financially solvable so that they can continue to do everything that they want to do.
Andy Herman, the absolute best.
I appreciate that breakdown.
Andy, I have one more question for you before we let you go.
Money matters.
Huh? Yeah. One more. Money matters. It's a great segue here.
Money matters.
Tommy, did you ever read your text? I have a question for Andy, too.
Oh, you go first, then.
No, it's cool.
No, Tommy wants to finish. You know. Yeah, Tommy wants to
finish. I know. That's why I texted it.
Tommy,
said,
the closer.
I have one for him, too.
Do it. Do it. Do it, Mitch.
Go ahead, Mitch.
Man. I know the schedule doesn't come out till mid-May. What are you hearing about a potential international game for the Packers?
Yeah, just what Policy said last week, that there's two that are potentially still on the table. What is it? The Saints in France, and then there's the Germany game. Lions in Germany. Right. Yeah, so both of them are options. All the other international games are either spoken for, or they, you know, the Packers don't play a road game with that team. So those would be the only two remaining.
Wouldn't it be weird to play a division game?
I like Saints in France. Let's go.
Right, I like Saints in France a lot better.
You got the Rams and the 49ers doing an international game, so that's apparently not something that, I mean, from a Packers
Australia
standpoint.
Australia is crazy.
Yeah, from a Packers standpoint, right, if you don't have to go to Detroit and you can go to Germany instead, where that's going to be at least half Packers fans, sure, sign me up for that. They already have the home field advantage this year, where they have 9 actual home games for sure this year, which is great. If you want to take one of those 8 away games and make it a neutral game, so you've got 9 home games, 7 away and 1 neutral, especially if that's a division game,
for sure.
Fine. You put the bye after it. Hopefully it's not like a week 4
thing. Have to go to Detroit and play in that dungeon would be that's a win
Detroit's
every year.
The worst.
Yeah, makes sense.
Absolutely. So yeah, sure. Go for it.
Andy, am I remember? How long have you been with your wife now, Andy? 20 years?
Oh boy, here we go.
You better remember quick.
27 years is how long we've been. 26 years. 26 years is when we started dating.
Okay. So, but you married 20, right? Because I think it's 20, 19, 18, like with how this works around in the rotation.
It'll be 20 next year. It'll be 20. So it's 19 this year.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Have you ever paid a parking ticket for her?
She is smart enough to have never had a parking ticket. First of all, in Green Bay, there's not a lot of parking.
It's hard to get one.
Right? So we're not exactly a metropolis, especially here in Sabisky, Wisconsin. We don't have many parking issues to deal with. I ended up with a crap
snowplow issues. If you park on the road in a snowstorm, you got to make sure you move it.
Exactly. So yeah, I don't think she's had one. I've had plenty, of course, because I'm an idiot.
If a lady stays at your house the next day, there's a $30 parking ticket. Who pays the parking ticket?
Oh, for sure. I'll take care of the ticket.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. All right. Just making sure.
I mean, and now Andy hasn't been in that position for 27 years. So, it's
$30 parking ticket.
Which is awesome.
Because these are the situations I would have been in and I would have taken care of it. Once you get one person who shows any interest, you just hold on like grim death because you never know if that's ever going to happen again. So that's exactly what I did. The first time anyone showed any interest, I'm just like, that's the one. This is never going to happen again.
Nice. So, yeah, worth $30. Worth $30. Okay.
Andy, thank you so much for jumping on. We'll definitely catch up with you as we get closer to the draft. Have an awesome weekend, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Can't wait. Thanks so much, guys.
I appreciate it.
Andy Herman, the absolute best here, Pack-A-Day podcast on the Mason Crosby Show. I'm Mitch Nellis. He's Tommy Wirtz. Mason is here as well. What type of fun and frivolity do we have for you between now and the end of the show? You'll just have to stay tuned and find out. This is the Mason Crosby Show.
Oh, yeah.